I was thinking earlier, and then while we were sitting here, it came back to me again, that, you know, from the time I was about 7 years old, I knew God had called me to ministry. At seven, I won't tell the story, but at seven, that was a great thing. You know, I knew it. I started my first church at seven, where I'd get neighborhood kids in the backyard and tell them about Jesus and all of that. Then I went through this period for a number of years with an extremely deep inferiority complex. And again, there's a whole story to what happened there. But I was locked up. I was afraid of my own shadow. I mean, I really was. I did not see any value in why I was alive. I didn't, this whole thought of ministry that came from when I was just a little kid was about as dumb as anything I could think of, because one, I had a problem with God because of how I felt that he made me, but also I just didn't feel that there was anything there that I could ever use. I certainly couldn't talk to a group of people, and in my mind at that point, everything in ministry was talking. So that was when I was a kid and grew up and so forth, and went to Bible college, and God, there's a lot of healing that had begun to happen. And I was at a summer camp, and I probably was 19 years old, something like that. And at this summer camp, there was a woman there by the name, some of you might remember the name Jean Darnell. And Jean was at this summer camp. And we were all sitting together and in a circle wall, and she was talking to us, and she told the story from me of Elijah and Elisha, and how all that, how Elijah came and passed Elisha when he was just a young man in the fields, and he, as he walked past him, he kind of tossed his mantle over at him, and it landed on him. And he turned and wanted to go after the old prophet. And at that point, Elijah, the old prophet, had battled a great deal with deep depression. And so part of what God was doing was passing on the mantle to a new generation. And Jean was talking. There's a line in there that was life-changing for me while she was talking. As she talked, she pointed out the story where as Elijah passed by, threw the mantle on this young man, this Elisha wanted to come after Elijah and follow him. But he said, I can't right now. I've got my father and my mother and my family, and I need to go back and take care of them. And the words he used after that was, Elijah said, go back, but don't forget what I've done to you. Just a simple, go back and take care of your family, your parents, and your work duty and all of that, but don't forget what I've done for you. Well, those words stuck. In fact, when she said it, I think it was the second time, she told the story, and then she said it the second time, and she pointed right at me. I'd never met her in my life at that point, but she pointed directly at me and looked at me, and she said, but don't forget what I've done for you. And I knew it was one of those God moments. Have you had those kind of moments where you knew that this was more than just somebody saying something, but there was something about the moment that was incredibly, incredibly important, and a God thing is what I would call it, that it wasn't just somebody talking, it was a God thing. And when she pointed at me and said that, without knowing anything about me, it just kind of hit. It caught my attention. And it was like the Holy Spirit just zeroed right in on me. And don't forget what I've called you to. Don't forget what I've done for you. And then he went on. Well, it was maybe a week, 2 weeks after that, very quickly after that, that I was struggling a lot with that. Okay, so what is it? What if you know? I know something about your call on my life, but I'm not able to do that. I was deep inferiority complex, and I thought there's no way I could ever do any of that. And I'm not quite sure at that point whether I actually ever wanted to do any of that. And so I was really struggling with what does that mean for me? Don't forget what I've done for you. What have you done for me? What is this all about? And I was reading from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1, that whole portion with Elisha, and that whole area where the widow comes and says, my husband's dead, and I have no money left, and I don't know what I'm going to do. They're going to come and take my sons to pay off the debt my husband raised. And I'm losing everything. No money, husband, no money, no kids, everything's gone. And she comes to Elisha and says that. And that's when he turns to her and says, what do you have? What do you want me to do for you? What do you have? And actually he says, what do you have in your house, in your home? And when I read that way back then, I remember that whole thing of what do you have? And see, I was there in the middle of this inferiority complex struggling with it. And then that experience with Jean Darnell when she pointed and said, don't forget what I've done to you. And then the next point when I'm struggling with all that, what do you have? What do you have? And so this morning after we shared, and then this evening is kind of, you know, unfolding to me now, because I had forgot how those two verses came together so strongly to me. You know, don't forget what I've done to you. And then when I'm crying out, God, I don't know what you could ever do with my life. I don't know how to talk to people. I'm afraid of myself. I'm afraid of everything around me. I did not see any value in my life at all. I mean, I was really a fairly good candidate for suicide. I mean, I didn't see any value at all. And having come from a very good family, a godly family, a loving family, it was all the stuff that had gone on in my head that had locked me up. And, you know, a lot of us are, it's that. It isn't really so much what happened, it's what we believed about what happened. And I had had some experiences that had so locked me up that I didn't see any reason that I should even be alive. And then I come and I sit there struggling with all of that, and this woman points at me out of nowhere and says, don't forget. Now, I don't know that she really intended to point at me. She was in the middle of her message. But on the other hand, I know that God intended her to point at me. Don't forget what I've done. Do the things you need to do, but don't forget what I've done to you. I mean, that was, it hit. I never forgot that. And then struggling with, what have you done? And what do I do with that? And then reading these verses that day, just sitting there, kind of a just devotional or whatever reason I was doing it. What do you want me to do for you? What do you have? And that's when she said, "Well, I've got this little jar of oil. I've got this little jar of oil, but absolutely nothing else." And he says, go back, get all, like Paul was sharing, Paul, I just changed your name there, Nick. And Nick was sharing a minute ago about, you know, get all the vessels, get all the jars, get all the stuff. He added a little bit to it when he got into the pots and pans and all that stuff. But, you know, but go back and get all the, you know, she said, I've got a little jar. And he says, go get all the jars, get all the vessels you can. and then go in, close the door, and start pouring. And as you start pouring, watch, each vessel will be filled. And then keep pouring until there's no vessels left, no jars left. And then when there's no jars left, then come back. And he, when she did, he said, you sell all of those and pay your debt, and you can live off all of this. But that little jar, the oil, just kept pouring. Just kept pouring and just kept pouring until that it was completely, completely gone. And it was only a little jar. You know, it's only a little jar. And I've often wondered, you know, exactly when it was all said and done and everything had been taken care of, maybe at that point there was a little more left in that, maybe the amount that was originally there. I don't know. But that was kind of, I've wondered about that a few times. Because God is a little bit like that. But, you know, I just really feel like somebody needed to hear that tonight because of things that God has spoken to you, things that you felt deep inside and you weren't quite sure what it meant, and you think, I don't really have anything to offer. I don't have anything to give. And what he's asking for is, what do you have? I mean, you may think it's nothing. You may think there's nothing to it. But what is that in your hand? That was what he said to Moses when Moses was saying, I cannot possibly, talked about that some this morning, I cannot possibly do, I cannot lead the children of Israel. It can't be done. I can't even talk. And then God says, what's that in your hand? I didn't see anything in my life that God could use. I knew inside, I don't know how, if I really knew the depth of how messed up I was, but I knew that I couldn't talk to people. I was scared to death of people. But God knew something else. And when Moses held the rod, and God says, what's that in your hand? When he was saying, God, there's no way, I can't do this. I cannot lead this people, can't be done. I don't have anything. God said, what's that in your hand? There's a story in the New Testament where there was the fish and loaves. Remember that story? And Jesus has healed this multitude of people. I think it was like 3 days of one miracle after another, after another, after another. And when they finish, and there, if I understand it right, it says that there were 4,000 men plus women and children. And which means that there could have easily been 8 or 10,000 people there by that point. And all this is happening. And for 3 solid days, one miracle after another, after another, after another, after another. And then at the end of the time, Jesus, the miracle worker, turns to the disciples and says, I don't want to send them away hungry. And they say, well, I mean, what do we do with it? There's nowhere we can turn with this. How would we get enough loaves to feed this group of people? It's way beyond our ability. And Jesus says, what do you have? He's always asking, what do you have? What do you have? And you say, well, I have a little bit of this and maybe, but not, what do you have? What's in your heart? What has he put in your heart? We were talking where the first question was, had to do with what, or not the first. One of the questions had to do with your passion. You know, I think that that's often something we easily overlook, trying to be more practical, when maybe God's put something there that you need. I'm asked this question a lot. Of things like, how do you know what God wants you to do with your life? And my answer is maybe not so spiritual, because, you know, spiritually you should say, well, you fast and pray, and for 40 days and 40 nights you fast and pray, and God will give you a vision of what you're to do with your life. It sounds extremely spiritual. But my chances are that after 40 days and 40 nights fasting, you're probably going to begin to see pizzas flying everywhere. And I don't think that God wants us all to be pizza men and women. But the whole picture, again, is that whole thing of just what God has put in our hands. What is in your heart? What do you want to do with what God's put there? What do you want to do with your life? Maybe it starts with looking inside and beginning to think, okay, God, what's there? What's my passion? What really motivates me? What is it? And then comes to bringing it to Him. I would never tell you just to go follow your passion, but I would say that's a good place to start. And listen and hear what God has to say, because He puts things in us. He puts dreams and desires in us. What's in your hand? You know, what's in your hand? Don't forget what God's done for you. Don't forget what He wants to do for you. But what's in your hand? What are you going to do with it? Is it possible that some of the dreams and desires that God's put there is exactly that, God putting it there? You know, again, sometimes I think we want to make it so spiritual that we've had, you know, we, like I said, fasted for 40 days and nights, and we've had this great dream from heaven, and all of that's good, and all of it's wonderful, and it does happen. But generally, that's not the norm. What normally happens is a desire God puts there, and with that desire comes gifting and ability, and then as you give it to Him, you watch and see what God can do with it. And taking what you have in your hand, giving it to Jesus like Moses. He took the rod and said, all I've got is this rod. And that's where God says, throw it down. And it becomes a snake. And then God says, pick it back up. And when He picks it up, it now is the rod of God. It's the rod of God. And it's that rod that He holds forth in a sea part. It's just an ordinary stick. It's that rod that He strikes the rock and water begins to pour out. Just an ordinary stick, but touched by the hand of God. And when I bring everything that I have to Him, when I bring my ability, when I bring my gifting, when I bring my dreams and desires, when I bring those things that He's put in me, when I bring them to Him, watch and see what He can do with those things. Does that make sense? Oh, you're so bad tonight with responding. Does that make sense? Oh, now I feel better about it all, whether you do or not. But it, you know, that, and I forgot that until today, in realizing it was those two. It was that experience at camp when I was 19 years old. And that after that reading through that verse, to figure out what in the world God wanted me to do and what He wanted to do with my life. And that they came together as I was, you know, just thinking about a little while ago, that this is, don't forget what He's done to you. And what do you have? What do you have? What can you give? He'll never ask you to do what you can't do. Same with the loaves and fish. He'll never ask you to do what you can't do, but He will ask you to do everything that you can. He won't ask you to give what you don't have, but He will ask you to give everything that you do have. I just want to stop and pray for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I don't know how much that meant to anybody, but it seems just as I was thinking and praying and thinking about tonight, that began to stir. There's those two stories from the book of 2 Kings that really had greater impact on my life than almost anything else did. And I think there are some sitting here tonight that need to hear again that God's done something. Don't forget what I've done to you. Don't forget what I've done in your life. Don't forget it. And what do you have? What do you have in your hand? What do you have at home? What do you have? And as the widow submitted to what the prophet spoke, she went home and did exactly what he said. The miracle took place. When the disciples gathered up what they had of 7 loaves and a few small fish, then Jesus touches them and the miracle takes place. When Moses throws the rod down and picks it back up, he picked up a different rod than he threw down, because the rod he picked up had become the rod of God. And Lord, I pray that you will speak that in hearts and lives tonight, that you've called them. You've called every one of us, and our part may not be in a pastoral role, not at all. It may be singing, it may be dancing, it may be counseling, it may any number of things that you've put there, that you're just saying, what do you have? What do you have? Give it to me. Give it to me and let me touch it and let me transform your situation. I was a pretty broken kid, a horrible inferiority complex. Didn't think I had anything to offer. You touched my life and you made all the difference in the world. But even with that, I had to give it to you and believe that you were going to make something out of my life, and you have. You've done it. It's not what I've done, it's what you've done. But it started with just that, what have I done to you? What's in your hand? Give it to me and let me do something with it. Lord, I just pray that I don't know why all that tonight. I don't know who you're speaking to. But Lord, I know you're speaking to some sitting here tonight. And I just ask that you will speak deep into their lives. They may be 15 years old, and they may be 80 years old. You never stop using us. You never stop developing us as we listen to you and as we do what you call us to do. Thank you, Jesus. Well, your heads are just, bow your heads with me for just a minute. And thank you, Lord. Some of you, that first part, really, you needed to hear that. Go back and do what you have to do, but don't forget what I've done in you. Don't forget it. Some of you needed to hear to, you know, what do you have at home? What's in your hand? And some of you needed to understand that God has a dream for you that's bigger than you realize. And if you'll give it to him, he will take it and turn it into an incredibly powerful tool to touch people's lives and turn their lives around. So Lord, I just ask that you'll do that tonight. Do that tonight. Lord, while your heads are bowed for just a minute, those of you that speaks to tonight, can you just respond to that? Just hold your hand up and say, that I'm responding to that. It speaks to my life. Yes, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What's in your hand? What do you have at home? Who, you know, the loaves and the fish, how much food do you have? And then comes the miracle working touch of Jesus. Work it in our lives, Lord. Lord, I pray for those that feel like they've had their chance. And there are those here sitting feeling like, you know, I've missed my opportunity. It's not happening. I'm past that age that it could happen. That's just absolutely untrue. When I bring what I have to you, Lord, you always Whether I'm 15 or whether I'm 85, you bring it, you use it, you touch it. And Lord, those who feel like they have nothing to give, Lord, let this be a night when they begin to realize, you know, it does. It's not the great thing. With the disciples, it was just 7 loaves and a few small fish. With Moses, it was a stick. With the widow woman, it was a little jar of oil. All they had was little, relatively insignificant things. And you touched their life. And you multiply, you change things, you turn them around. And so will you do it, work it in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. I think it's Dan asked us 2 questions there, I think, to think through and pray through. Definitely this week.